Hey, are we here? Did we, is it going? Is it going? I don't know if it's going or not. It looks like it is. No, we're here. Okay. Wow. We made it. I think we made it. Anyway, oh, actually, I'm early. Oh, that's, is that a first? My gosh. Okay. We better give it a minute because, I got here. I got things. Everything went up fast today. I don't know why. It's funny how this these things work sometimes. It's just funny. Anyway, we're going to talk today about we get into eugenics. Eugenics. Dun, 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 dun. Because what we're seeing going on in the world today is a form of eugenics. That's what we're seeing going on today. We're having a eugenic timeline. We have in control of the world today as we see it. And all that's happening today and all that's been going on and so forth and so on. I want to play something. I'm going to wait a minute, I think, though, about life, a little bit about life, because we don't, we're not, oh, good evening, everyone. Okay, we got ST in here, Tankerman, howdy from Texas, Ryan, VA Prepper. Okay, you guys are popping in. I'm going to wait about a minute. I'm going to play a video. Do you remember the Marx Brothers? Was it Marx Brothers or Mark? I think it was Marx Brothers. They had a guy with a horn, and they had a guy with, a hat, and they were all a little strange, say the least. Hey, Tommy, what's up? But this guy that I'm going to play, 102 years old. Now, this man had the right woman. He had the right woman. When I play it, you'll understand where I'm coming from with that. Because I'm telling you, what that woman did could not be done today. I mean, the guy had 16 kids. This is in the US. It wasn't uncommon in Europe to have 20 kids, 21 kids, whatever. That was normal, right? No television, no hockey, no Days of Our Lives, no friends, no cartoons, just, have your own entertainment. Rise and shine, let's rip ready and rock and roll kind of thing. So anyway, the guy's 102 years old. He doesn't look it either. He really doesn't look it. He looks like he's about 60, 60. I would have pegged him as 60, 65. Hey, so we're talking about women and how they're not made the same way they were 50, 60 years ago. I'm going to play something that this is mildly entertaining. But today's woman could not do this. What this woman accomplished back then cannot be done with today's woman. It just would never happen. The guy was a patriarch all by himself. Really? Oh, maybe I got my speaker down. Well, that's my speaker. Okay. I think I got enough people. Okay, I'll play it. I'll play it again if I have to. But this I found hilarious, really. When I saw this, I thought, today's woman could not do this. There's no way. I don't think the men would want to do it, to be honest with you. This is a dead breed. Anyway, let me play this. Here we go. We got it going.
My name.
Okay, hold on a second. I'm going to raise the volume. I'm going to make sure the volume's up. But yeah, I can make it up. All right. Here we go.
My name is Bob Carter. Oh, you're going to stick to that, huh? Well, you're a fine-looking lad, sonny.
Thank you.
I'd say you were around 28, huh? Am I close? No. Are you 60? No. 70? No. You're not 80, yet. You got to go further than that. I would if you weren't here.
You would.
How about 90? You got to go again. Don't tell me you're 100 years old. You got to go again. So I'll take one more guess. 650. I'm 102.
102.
How long were you married, Pop?
I'd married 72 years.
Now imagine this. Imagine. He's been married to the same gal 72 years. That in itself, he a badge of honor. Yeah, a badge of honor. 72 years. Whoa. Anyway, this goes further. I'm going to continue. This gets more amazing. Well, amazing to me anyway.
You're a real Iron Man. Do you have any children?
I had 7 girls and 9 boys.
Oh, it cut it off. What the hell? Okay, I still got the original. Hold on a second. Oh, shit. Why did I cut that off, I wonder?
My name is Bob Carter. Oh, you're going to stick to that, huh? Well, you're a fine-looking lad, sonny.
Thank you.
I'd say you were around 28, huh? Am I close?
No.
Are you 60?
No.
70?
No.
You're not 80 yet. You gotta go further than that. I would if you weren't here.
You would.
How about 90?
You gotta go again.
Oh. Don't tell me you're 100 years old.
You gotta go again.
Well, I'll take one more guess. 650.
I'm 102.
How long were you married, Pop?
I'd married 72 years.
You're a real Iron Man. Do you have any children?
I had 7 girls and 9 boys. That's right.
How old are your oldest?
You see, there's no way a woman today would be able to do that. She must be quite up in age too. Wow, if she's alive. She has 16 kids. And the oldest one is 82 and the youngest one is 36. There's no way today's women could do this. And it's true, this guy was an Iron Man. He had a lot of iron. And I think he just gave it all to her. I mean, holy jumping. Let me, this gets even more, you know, intriguing. Let me continue this. This is amazing. I told you, I found this amazing.
82.
Are they still in school?
No, they're sending their grandchildren to school.
Oh, how young are the youngest?
He's 36.
How about grandchildren? How many do you have?
I have 69.
And you have
39
any?
Great-grandchildren and 19 great-great-grandchildren. Let's I still see. Say I'm a man.
Part of the reason why I played this is the fact that at the end, he still says, I still say I'm a man. I can still say I'm a man. You know, today, in today's times, We have people that don't know what they are. I got to tip my hat to this guy. 69 children. I think it's, no, sorry. He had 16 children, 69 grandchildren, 39 great-grandchildren, and 19 great-great-grandchildren. Now, that takes a lot of stamina and patience to deal with that many people, especially if they're related. He's more than a man. He's a mega man. Holy jumping. I mean, today it's, I mean, what a difference, you know, what a difference in what a perception of life was and is today. You know, that's probably the way we should have been living. I don't know about having that many people pop out of a woman, but, you know, and that tells you something too. On genetics, you know, that tells you a lot about the genetics. The man's seed was potent, obviously. The lady I get my eggs from is on number 9. What year was this? In the 1950s. He was born in the world without the poisonous, that too. But think about the genetics there. The genetics of the egg. And the genetics of the seed. Think about that. I mean, 16? I know my parents are from the Mediterranean, and it wasn't uncommon to have 20 kids in the family. That was, back then, that was normal. Today, we can't afford to have one. And the one we would have, the government would come in and try to change their orientation. Their little girl want to turn it into a little boy. If it's a little boy, want to turn it into a little girl. I don't know why they want to fuck with genetics. I don't really understand this whole idea. I get why they're doing it. It's all because everybody on this, in this planet, is basically an experiment. You are a prototype, or you're a exploratory experiment. And this has been going on since the 50s, even probably before then. Well, Hitler was doing it in the Second World War, and I'm sure they were doing it in the First World War. Japanese were doing it as well. And the Chinese, and the British, and the French, and they were all doing it. Russians were looking for that super soldier. So when we're looking at all this stuff that's been going on today, in regarding to genetics, and you hear, I mean, the guy's 102. When you see the video, you will not believe he's 102. He doesn't look like 102. So when we're looking at all the, when we're looking at all that we're dealing with today, what we're dealing with, so when we're looking at all the stuff that we're dealing with today, you know, bringing one kid into this planet subjects that child to be property to be experimented on. That's where we're at today. You know, and all these regulations that they're creating, it's all by design to create the protocols required to conduct their experiment. That's why we're having all these rules. That's why the WF and the UN and the United States and Canada and Russia and China and Japan and, you know, Australia, New Zealand, all these countries, Middle East, are creating these regulations. Because if you want to conduct an experiment, you have to set up a hypothesis. You have to set up a protocol. You have to set up a condition. And once you set up that condition, then you can proceed to use whatever procedures that are required to come up with a solution or to come up with an experiment that explains whatever they want to know. There's nothing out here that indicates that we have a pandemic. Never was. But what we do have out here are energy weapons that are releasing high levels of electromagnetic radiation. And this electromagnetic radiation is causing lots of mutations throughout the world. I wrote my write-up for the show, my script, that right now in old Canada and old Slaverica, Canada, what we're seeing now is a transition of subject matter. In other words, we have brought in Europeans, those from the European countries, the Baltic countries, you know, and some Middle Eastern countries. We brought them in here to this melting pot, to this rainbow, or whatever you want to call it, you know, I forget what we call ourselves in Canada. See, Canada doesn't call itself a melting pot, even though it is, you know, and what's the term we use? Shit. It's where we're able to maintain our cultural identity, multiculturalism. We are multicultural. It's a fancy word for saying melting pot. Because you come in as many cultures and eventually you cross over to whatever you're engaging yourself with. And now you're producing a whole new paradigm. And this is all part of the experiment here, right? We have all these people from all over Europe getting together. You have Polish people with Germans and Germans with Italians and Italians with Spaniards and Spaniards with the Brits and the Brits with the Mediterranean and the Mediterranean with the Middle East. And it's all muddled up, mixed up, whatever. So now we got all this genetic material in one area of the world. You ever notice that? Canada, United States, multicultural countries. And when you go to Europe, everyone is a monocultural country. Spain, France, all these places, right? Monocultural. But that's changed, too. With all the things that have happened the last 20 to 30 years, they've also have had influxes of different people coming in and, you know, either immigrating or doing whatever. But now you have a huge, huge, huge laboratory where people are coming in and mixing up and engaging, and now we have a genetic mix of everything. So now the scientists, these religious cultists that, you know, that follow the religion of science are salivating at the mouth because now they want to use and experiment and exploit and do all kinds of things because now we have a genetic soup. And in this genetic soup, now we have everybody mixing with everybody, creating what we're creating. And now we have genetic codes that may not have been there in the original genetic code. In other words, if you came from one part of the world and you got involved with somebody else, now you have new codes, new things that have happened. Now they're exploring these codes. Now they're doing things. And now they have designated certain things to be in place so that they can now further conduct their eugenics program. Because the eugenics program is about killing people, killing off cultures, killing off imperfections, killing off a gene pool. So what we got going on now is we got a group of, again, cultists that believe in, you know, this whole scientific. And I'm not against science. I'm actually very scientific my own way. But not to create, you know, mutations or death. It's, you know, understanding how things work is basically where I come from. And then applying these things. But what they're doing is, okay, in the eugenics program, it's a throwaway society. In other words, the experiments are done on you. You go through this whole coming to a country for its opportunities. But those opportunities are not your opportunities. It's their opportunities. They got you enslaved. They got you distracted. They got you looking at shit you shouldn't be looking at, dealing with shit that you shouldn't have to be dealing with, completely causing you all these dynamics that you would do in an experiment to stimulate a activity. Okay, to stimulate a response mechanism. Everybody stimulates different response mechanisms based on what you deal with, right? That's all recorded. So, but now we take people who are deemed undesirable, whatever they may be, whatever ethnic culture, whatever religious culture, whatever political culture you come from. And then what happens is you throw into the mix, okay, you got women that are fertile. So you give a little birth control. Hey, take this. You won't get pregnant. Okay, so now this is another part of the experiment that's being conducted. And now we have a group of women, ages X to Y. We have a group of women that are of ethnic cultures, non-ethnic cultures, domestic cultures that are now in this group, all being categorized, all being monitored. Okay. We are now, and then on top of that, we're increasing progesterone levels in these women that are taking these medications. Now you got a group of men on the other side that you now provide them with a raincoat that has spermicidal chemicals. Again, to isolate a whole section there, right? You got people who are domestic, non-domestic. We got people who are ethnic and non-ethnic. And also we have religious, you know, that's in there too, right? Are you Muslim or Islamic? Are you Judaic? Are you Christian? Are you Catholic? Are you Protestant? Are you New Age, Old Age, Buddhist, Hindu, you know, Native, whatever it may be. So now that's going on. So now we've eliminated a whole group of people from the gene pool. This is a double blind. This is how you create a double. Now you got people of the same ethnic origins, same cultural origins, who are not making babies. And now you have another group of the same culture, same identity, who are making babies. Again, it's all how you look at it, right? It's all by design. It's all by, you know, and then we throw in the concept of rights, rights for women, rights for men. Well, I'll tell you what the rights mean, really. When they do this, this is further to isolate and categorize in this experiment. That's what it really boils down to. It's an experiment. And people may not look at it. People may look at it from a political perspective, but you got to go way past political. Political is another word for bullshit and lying. When you peel back the word political and you start looking at control group, because that's what we're dealing with here, control groups. Okay, giving women these rights or whatever, that's a control group. Giving men specific rights or whatever, that's another control group. Given ethnic minorities certain rights and privileges, that's another control group. These are all control groups. That's what we're looking at. And then they throw in their divisions that create further isolation and separation, containing these control groups where they are. So when you get into this whole dynamic of what we're doing here and how the eugenics programs are running, okay, This is just the setup. This is how you get the lab in place. How you get the subjects and the raw material, if you will, calling subjects raw material, so that you can now start conducting your experiments and exploitations on these control groups to further determine whatever it is you're going to determine or to develop what you want to develop. Now, once you got all these Europeans from all over the world, and you got, you know, all the way from Russia to Spain, Portugal, from Northern Europe to Southern Europe, and all over here on one side, all mixed up. Polish people stay in Poland. German people stay in Germany. English stay in the UK, you know, and so on. But now you come over here and everybody's out there sampling the wares, exchanging genetic code, producing a whole new set of people with different genetics. Now, is that necessarily bad? No, not really. And there's all kinds of arguments for different cultures to mix, because it can actually improve or even develop a better immune system, because you're not subjected to being hit by, let's say you got the bubonic plague or a flu in Czechoslovakia, wipes out Czechoslovakians, but then you mix with some other culture that has a gene or a DNA that has the immune code to that specific outbreak. So now you mix, and now that person is not subjected to that kind of problem. So there's not a issue in regarding to that. The issue that we're dealing with today is what is being done. Now we got another environment that we're coming to. An environment where we're fumigating people with technological programs in dust. Operating systems are now falling down on the whole planet, creating a whole new set of parameters in this experiment, in this laboratory, to see who gets affected with what. What materials do what to what people? Because not everybody responds the same way. Some people have outbreaks on the skin. Some people have internal damage. Some people have respiratory issues. Some people have joint issues. Some people have muscle wasting issues. Some people have organ failure. Some people have brain damage. Genetic biowork may not be as effective too. Yeah. So when we're looking at a lot of the different, you know, parameters in this lab, it's now, but before you get to that point, since we're talking genetics, what do? We introduce a whole new set of genetics in a parameter in the food supply. So now we have these genes inside the body that are being integrated or fusing with other genes that they shouldn't be. If your immune system isn't strong enough to break down the DNA that you're consuming, it will eventually engage you and integrate with you. That's the whole idea behind all this stuff that we're dealing with. Now you have another group of supporting actors that now will go in and pay money to continue this experimentation and then direct the experiment. We call them the WEF, WHO, UN. So now they're involved. Now you have to think, when it comes to the United Nations, we are dealing with a bunch of prostitutes. Another anomaly in the genetic code. Prostitutes. Every one of them. Total prostitutes. So I would have to assume that the WEF is the UN's pimp. They own them. They own and direct them. That's what we're seeing today. That's been going on since the whole COVID, Corona bullshit. And even before then, even way before then, the Industrial Revolution was all tied to them as well. Now we're in a technological revolution, and what I think is the big concern, because this is a new parameter in the experiment. Now we have a technological advancement that's going to push us even faster and further than where we are right now. But the problem is, if you understand the language of the technology, you become a formidable problem, a very formidable problem. So let's say I'm trying to kill off a section So I'm trying to kill off Windsor and Detroit. Got to wipe out all these Europeans, all these people from Poland and Hungary and Czechoslovakia, and Bulgaria, Romania, Estonia, Macedonia, Yugoslavia, all across the Mediterranean, Malta, Italy, you know, Northern Africa, right over to Spain. I want to wipe out all these people. You know, but I want to save a specific group. So all of a sudden I release a pandemic and tell people to go and get protected when in reality they're getting infected. Again, this is all part of the regulation, all part of the directive to control or keep the experiment under control. So now people are getting these jabs, and now they're incorporating more genetic material, more DNA, and also technology. So now for decades, we've been eating foods that have been genetically altering our biology. And maybe, possibly, potentially, I don't have any evidence to this one way or another, but I have enough that I've seen that I can speculate on, that all these genetic materials they're putting into the food supply was designed to be aligned with the injections or the genetic gene editing program. So now you have a gene editing program that has a CRISPR technology that removes your DNA and may allow the other DNA that you've been consuming now, because you removed the immune system or you removed the immune modulators in the DNA, now this can move in. And at the same time, nanoparticles can also move in. So you got a double strand in each section of the DNA. If chunks of them are removed in the nanotechnology with the genetics that are already in the system, how many people you know eat McDonald's all the time? Burger King, Kentucky Fried Chicken, Taco Bell, which is probably one of the worst ones. You know, Olive Garden, you know, Sonic, all these fast food, I've seen here now, I'm like, oh, holy shit, you got Checkers, all these different restaurants, they're serving fast food. How many people are eating these things daily? Daily. I'm driving down the road sometimes, and at 10 o'clock at night, McDonald's has got a drive-thru, and they're packed. Packed. It's like, are you kidding me? Obviously, they never seen supersize me. Where a French fry doesn't break down for about 100 years, you know. And a Whopper doesn't disengage either. Those proteins stay bound up. Not, if the bacteria and the pathologies in the air can't break that down, what's that saying about you? How much of that is still stuck inside? You know, STS will help you remove it. I assure you. But when we're looking at all of this, this integration and this assimilation into this whole dynamic that we're dealing with here, and then we're adding a gene editing program, what is that all doing? Like, again, this is the lab. This is the experiment. Now, getting back to the eugenics part of it. So we got this experiment going on. And then also we got, you know, other influencing forces that can affect the experiment. When you got, you know, people promoting whatever, advocating certain things, creating problems within the structure and the way a country's run. These are all parameters in this experiment. Don't waste your money on survival food. Just buy McDonald's and said it's a lot cheaper and will last forever. Yeah, it'll last forever, but it doesn't mean you will. If you can't absorb the content of McDonald's, you know, then what will happen is you'll decay and be disposed. But that hamburger will still be in place. When they cut your gut out 1,000 years from now, or what's left of you 1,000 years from now, they see this McDonald's sitting in your gut, not broken down. They're going to say, wow, what were these people eating back then? You know, this guy's dead, man. What? But look, that. What's this? What's this big M on his hamburger? What's that maple leaf? So, when we're looking at all this stuff, you know, you start thinking about it. I just mentioned a lot of the fast foods. There's a lot more here. I can't even keep up here. I drive down the road and say, holy shit, they got a lot of crap here, you know. But, I mean, you have to realize that this is an experiment. Now, the eugenics part of this is, if you happen to get cancer from eating this genetic material, which could shut down your immune system to protect you from getting cancer, okay, then what happens, or any other disease that that has to do with being broken down, that too is studied. That too is studied. That's why 40 years ago, they didn't want anybody that had a cancer cure out there, because it would have interfered with their experiment. Now they don't care. They already have the data. Stuff we were giving for like over 30 years had a high rate of success in getting people back on their feet and off of cancer. Sometimes I missed those days because they were a lot easier days. But again, this is all part of the experiment. How many of them are dying of cancer? And if the objective was to infect people with cancer, then they wanted to see how many people got the infections, when they died, how old were they, what their gender may be. Now, back then, we only had two, as far as I know, biologically, physiologically, and scientifically, we still only have two. So if you're one of these people that believe you're another gender, you need to smell the coffee, take a look downstairs, do a little reading, understand that gender is also tied to functionality. And if you're a male, unless you can get yourself pregnant, you know, you are what you are. And anybody who's believing this has been programmed badly. But that's also part of the experiment. It's also part of the experiment. You know, we got men who think they're women. I'm not sure how that works. When I look down, I see an extension. I see a set of testicles indicating that I carry the seed. When I have seen the woman's anatomy, I know she doesn't have that equipment. In fact, she has an entry point to receive the seed. I wonder. Maybe this is wrong. Maybe this is all too terribly. Maybe it's the, you know, that's not an opening for receiving the seed. Who knows now? See, this is the confusion, but that's all part of the experiment. All part of the experiment. So now we got people that are disassociated with themselves, disassociated with everything around them, taking all complying with all the dictates of the experiment, and start dying of cancer. Okay, and they weaponized the lab or the experiment that they're conducting to do this, to bring on the cancer. So now we see that cancer has become a known killer throughout the planet. It wasn't just isolated in one area, but there are some areas that had more people, was more prevalent in some areas than other areas. And it too was also monitored and recorded. There were some areas that hardly saw cancer, and there were some areas that's all they saw was cancer. And the standing joke was, when COVID came, nobody died of cancer. They all died of COVID. COVID cured cancer. What did they die of? They died of COVID. Or the other joke, the other standing joke, where a guy was robbing a woman and the woman shot him. And then when they brought her to court, they asked her how she pled. She pled not guilty. And judge said, Well, the evidence shows that you shot the man. He says, what did he die of? And on his birth, on his death certificate, he died of COVID. He says, well, he died of COVID. That had not my, him getting shot had nothing to do with it. He died of COVID, not from a bullet wound. they threw the court case out. So you see how this is all playing as an experiment. And they want to take us further into this experiment. Enron in this experiment has multiple elements to it. One is, if we wipe out this European group with all the experimentation we've done, because we've now tested all the Europeans pretty much, now we're going to bring in all these other free radicals that are in these other countries. Because if you sit there and do an analysis of your own, you will find that there is absolutely no cure for anything in the last 100 years. But what we have been seeing is a lot of the death toll throughout the world has increased exponentially. No cure, high death. High death, no cure. The experiment is working fine. It is going according to plan. We are now in that one part of the experiment of throwing away the has-beens, the ones that have been here before. We're bringing a whole new wave of genetics. Okay. We're not living longer because they're killing us. Our lifespan should be 120 years old. They have been set out, they have set out through eugenics program to kill people, to shorten the lifespan. When they tell us that our lifespan is, you know, 86 years old, which it isn't anymore, it's down to about 79, 78 years, if not lower, which is also the plan, which is also part of the experiment. How do we take somebody that's supposed to live 120 years of age and lower their life expectancy? That's how you should be looking at this. We're not living longer because everything in this planet is designed to kill you. The air you're breathing, the water you're drinking, the food you're consuming, the environment you're living in, the microwaves you're being exposed to, the smart dust that you're consuming, the nano dust in the atmosphere, the nano genetics that's coming down. There's so many things that are attacking our systems that our immune systems are becoming overworked. One of the reasons why you heard that guy at 102 having 16 kids and, you know, almost 100 generational offspring through his kids and grandkids is because their immune systems were not tapped out like ours is today. We're aging more rapidly, which means in common language, you're burning out faster. We're not aging like wine or cheese. We are rapidly burning out. We are being burned out in this experiment because you're expendable. Everybody's expendable. When the 60s came along with the sexual revolution and everybody was out there jumping on everybody else's bones, making all these babies, they did that on purpose so they would have enough livestock to conduct the experiment. That's what that was all about. If it feels good, do it. Ooh. You know, and then there were repercussions with that as well. And again, when you're looking at all these people today that have come from the last 60 years, and you have all these kids that are being born today and going through the system, going through the lab, going through having the experiments conducted on them. The other measure that they've done as well is they've lowered the intellect. Each decade, each new birth, children are getting dumber and dumber and dumber. We don't age like a good bottle of wine. We age like winos. Yeah, there might be some truth to that. all right, how you doing, Blambert? How you doing? Like I said, when we're looking at, let me play this again because some of you are just getting in now, and I'm getting into this whole eugenics thing. I want everybody to hear this again and start thinking in terms of genetics with this old couple. I mean, he's got one of his daughters with him, you know. But when you're looking at all of this going on with this video, like I said, think along everything. It sounds like it's a wowzer type shock that you hear, but break it down to genetics. Break it down to what he's saying. You know, even the guy that interviewed him looked worse than he did. I mean, the guy that interviewed him didn't look that all that shit hot. Let's see here. Oop. Hit the wrong button. Here we go. Try this again. Here we go.
My name is Bob Carter. Oh, you're going to stick to that, huh? Well, you're a fine-looking lad, sonny. Thank you. I'd say you were around 28, huh? Am I close? No. Are you 60? No. 70? No. You're not 80 yet. You got to go further than that. I would if you weren't here.
You would.
How about 90? You got to go again. Oh. Don't tell me you're 100 years old. You got to go again. So I'll take one more guess. 650. I'm 102. How long were you married, Pop?
I was married 72 years.
You're a real Iron Man. Do you have any children?
I had 7 girls and 9 boys. That's right.
How old are your oldest children?
82.
Are they still in school?
No, they're sending their grandchildren to school.
Oh. How young are the youngest?
He's 36.
How about grandchildren? How many do you have?
I have 69.
And do you have
39
any?
39 great-grandchildren and 19 great-great-grandchildren. I still say I'm a man.
I'll say. Again, what a difference in genetics. Because he wasn't in the lab. He was under some other control mechanism, but he was not in an experimental lab where they were doing biotechnical genetic experiments on the general population. That's what we're seeing today. That's what we're, you know, witnessing today. And we're looking at all these things that are going on right now with the WEF and the WHO and the UN and all these things are going on. And all the things that has been happening. I just got another report from Alberta. They want to pass a bill, pass some legislation that they passed to get about $850 million to do a project that absolutely has no use whatsoever. None. Zero. Nada. And now it's waiting for some sort of approval process. And I think what they're doing with that is they're taking the money and they're dividing it up. And they got to cut in the people that are going to okay the okay. So now once they get it all cut up, this money will flow out of the country. Now, the interesting thing about this, and this is going to sound really racist, but you know what? I don't care. I don't care. When you look who passed all this, it just so happens to be the imports coming in Canada by the government, which unfortunately are of Asian background. Oh, wow. So he got another 5 years. So he was 107 when he died. Poor guy probably thought, you know, he's wore out. But this is what's going on. And this is part of the invasion force that's going on in this laboratory. Because now you have external influences coming into our respective countries, no matter where they may be, foreign nationals being disguised as local citizens, coming in and draining the resources, literally. Now, this may sound racist, but you know what? It is what it is. Why are we passing bills for projects that have absolutely nothing to do with anything, will not do anything, and yet they're taking tax payers' dollars from people? This is part of the experiment. What happens when we drain the resources from these people while they're conducting this experiment, where they don't have the wherewithal means to be able to take care of themselves? This is another isolation of this experiment. How many people are living in the streets today? Think about that. Why are these people living in the street? Canada and the United States are supposed to be the two richest countries in the world, supposedly. But when everybody comes in here and acts like a parasite and sucks the resources out, why are people who are native born here, and I don't mean native as far as indigenous, I'm talking that too, but I'm talking about non-native people that are not indigenous, that are natively born in Canada, why are they being subjugated to this kind of life? Same with Americans. You go down to Arizona, you go down to Phoenix. As far as the eye can see, downtown, all you see is homeless. This is one of the more wealthier states of the Union. So when we're looking at all the stuff that we're going on today, this puts people in a more precarious position to be exposed to more content to expose their genetics and their DNA. How much of this stuff do they have to be exposed to before they finally collapse and die? How much of the stuff they're exposed to that's causing brain damage? There's another study that just came out. Well, I shouldn't say it came out. A lot of these new studies, I got to tell you straight out, a lot of these new studies are bullshit. They have been around for 30 or 40 years, 40 years at least. And they're telling you now that metals in the intestinal tract can cause brain damage. No. No shit, really? Wow. I didn't know that. I heard about it 40 years ago, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years, and we're hearing it again? No. But this is where we're at. They're repeating something and they've been saying it forever. My father lived 91 years after from 1918 till 2009. Oh, that poor man. Once he got past 1950, he should have called it a day. But this is what I'm talking about regarding to the experimentation exploitation. They'll round up those bodies that die out in the street. They'll round them up, cut them open, do a dissectomy on them, and, check out everything. How many of you are feeling pain in your joints, your knees wobble, your hips wobble, everything wobbles, your head spins, can't breathe? That's the other big thing. You ever notice that people are having to be able to breathe 4 puffers, 5 puffers? They got to take one every couple hours to keep everything under control. Everybody's taking puffers. Puff this, puff that, here a puff, there a puff. Why do people need puffers? See, doesn't anybody ever sit there and think about that for a minute? Why do I need a puffer to breathe? I don't need a puffer. I don't use puffers. I get to breathe this nano loaded air full on. You know, what the heck? But why do people need puffers to breathe? It's like telling somebody, here's the Viagra to get an erection. Why do you need a pill to do that? But see, there's a malfunction in the brain for the one, and there's a malfunction in the respiratory system, which may be tied directly to genetics, and the genetics is tied to the exploitation, the experimentation that they've done. Some of you had respiratory issues after you've taken an injection. What did that do to your respiratory system? What genetic code did that shut off? What DNA did that, you know, subvert? You know, when you're looking at all this stuff that we're seeing today and all the things that are what we call diseases or dis-ease, because that's what it is, a dis-ease, then you have to start questioning some things that they've been telling us, a lot of things they've been telling us, which has been about 99.9% bullshit, that you have a condition. Having a condition is basically not the cause we're looking for. That's the symptom. If you have a condition, that means you have a symptom going on. And if they're going to tell you they're treating the symptom, you have just become a guinea pig. You have just become a guinea pig, because now the medications they're giving you are basically, you're the experiment that they're using to conduct with these medicines that they're giving you. See what they will do, how you will break down, what genetics is this going to create, what DNA codes are going to come from this. Because everything can affect, anything that can affect your genetic code comes from outside, comes from your environment. It's called epigenetics. So if we're having an epigenetic issue going on here with your biology, then the question should be, you should be asking, what's causing all this? When we're looking at all the drugs that they have created in just the last 60 years, it's mind-boggling. Turn on the TV over here in the United States and all you see is drugs. I will tell you, I will tell anybody that's coming to America, if you don't take any drugs before you come to America, by the time you die, you'll be on about 30 of them. Because they will have you convinced that you need a drug. You need to be treated. When you go to a doctor and you ask him what medications you're on, and you tell him you're not on any, they like, what? You're not on any drugs? How did we miss you? How did you slip through the crack? How did you get out of the test tube? How did you get out of the exploratory, the experiment room? Now, that's the truth, too. If you say you don't have any drugs, they're like shocked. When I had food poisoning, a guy asked me what drugs were. I said, I've not had any drugs. Why would they be taking drugs for? I said, you gotta have a rock in your head, take a drug. This is all the side effects they have. Wasn't too impressed. So I take vitamins. Oh, you shouldn't take vitamins. Because if you take vitamins, you won't be taking drugs. And vitamins actually work for you. Yeah, that's possible. I think my mother was a victim of... Yeah, I mean, that's possible. Those birth control pills cause problems for a woman. They may not cause it initially when she takes them. But 20 years later, they usually have problems with their whole endocrine system. They start putting on uncontrollable weight. Nothing seems to work right. Nothing's regulatory regulators in the body seem to have been burned out. Like I said, when we're looking at all the stuff that we're exposed to today, it's a ticking time bomb. I'll tell you today, most of you today that are alive, that are hearing the shows, most of you today are not going to make it to 80. A lot of you are not going to make it to 70 or even 60, depending on how old you are, where you started in this whole nonsense. And if you're taking any of these bioweapons, wherever you are, depending on what you took, figure about 3.5 to 10 years. If you took AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson, about 10 years. If you took the other one, if you ain't dead, you soon will be. You know, this was all done by exploitation, experimentation. This was all done by how they wanted to eliminate and remove the undesirables. You know, I wonder how old she was when she had her last child. Well, if his oldest was, man, she started at 10. Think about this. If his oldest is 82 and he's 102, so he was 20 when he got started. Okay, he was 20 when he got started. So by the time he was 82, the one that's 36 years old would have been born, I believe. It's 20. So he would have been 82. Yeah, I think so. She would probably have had to have been 20 as well, or close to it. Back then, they married at 15, a lot of the women did. I don't know how old his wife was, but if we do the little math there, if he's 102 and his oldest is 82, then his young, that's 66 years. So he was what, 86 when he had the kid, his 36-year-old? So if she was the same age, she would have been 86. Now, if she was a little younger, let's say she was 15, that's 5 years. She would have been 81. Again, whole different environment. And like I said, the women today could not do it. Not the way we're living. Not how we're living. That's a good question. I think the Hunts are another example of a long-lived generation. They die at about 120 to 140. And they don't start having children till they're 70. Okay? Till they're 70. So I would probably say for them, I don't know. I don't know. You know, I mean, I would guess 20 years, if they're 70, by the time they're 90, maybe, I don't know. Most women, if I'm to extrapolate, most women today usually have their kids young, well, when they were having them young, it's in their 20s. By the time they reached mid-40s, they were in menopause. So that's about a 20-year gap. So I would say it'd be about the same. I have no idea back then. No, I mean, that's a phenomena you're talking about. Here's a 102-year-old guy there. He's still saying he's a man. Norris, you were in mid-50s? Okay. Yeah, most of the women I knew were done. They were, by the time they were 44, 45, they were, the well had dried up. So there are exceptions, obviously, right? I think woman has limited eggs. I don't think so. They say that, but I don't think that's true. There's other reports and studies show that every time a woman engages in sexual intercourse, her body immediately goes into egg production. So I think the reason why they have limited eggs today primarily is because of all the crap that's attacking the endocrine system. They don't want, you know, if every woman, think about this, if every woman in just Canada alone, okay, just Canada alone, if you think about just Canada, and we have, let's stick to the 28 million, I don't believe the 41 million, but let's say 28 million Canadians, and you got 14 million women in Canada, and they were all able to bear into the later ages, you know, in life. You know, that would say that each woman would be average 20 kids. 20 kids. You know, 14 million women averaging 20 kids. Population would have grown pretty quick if they did that. And I think part of the reason why, too, they didn't want women bearing a later life because the next generation would have done the same thing. So I think there was probably something in the food supply or something in the environment that would have potentially stifled the egg production. It's just like your seed. The seed is the same thing. By the time the seed changes as you get older, and one of the reasons why it changes is for the same reason, endocrine disruptors. My grandma had 13 children. She lived over 80, healthy, passed away from a farm accident. They know when we get to a certain number, we'll figure out what they're doing and revolt against them. I think so too. I think we woke up too late. We should have woke up 30 years ago. We could have nipped this in the bud real quick because 30 years ago was a different mentality than it is today. Today, it's just, they just get into the ankle grabbing position, but all they do. 30 years ago, our group would have straightened this shit out one way or another. You know, one way or another, it would have gotten straightened out. There would be no WEF in Canada right now. There would have been no WEF in Canada right now. That's what killed Canada, the WEF. You know, everyone wants to run around in Canada. You know, I'm going off topic a little bit, but everyone, and again, this is part of the experiment too. And I think this has been part of the experiment to get people to diminish the resistance. You know, they got men getting in touch with their female side. Are you fucking kidding me? You know, I couldn't believe, I used to hear that shit all the time. You got to get in touch with the female side. I used to tell people I gave that away. They used to look at me like I was from Mars. I said, well, every time I went to the store, I couldn't make up my mind what I wanted to buy. I just sold it for a nickel. After that, I never had any more problems. You know, they just, they didn't know what to say. We don't have a female side. You know, we don't really have a female side. Women don't have a men's side, but what we do have are hormones. Okay, and the hormones we have can have estrogens and progesterones. So if you want me to get in touch with my estrogenic side, all I have to do is eat a little soy. You know, but this whole nonsense, this is part of it. This is the whole vegan thing. What another load of bullshit. Where have all the cowboys gone? Yeah. Well, that's been part of the experiment as well. First day, again, in this laboratory with all its, you know, protocols in place. And we start playing with the genetics and the food supply. Now we come up with another factor into this experiment. Got to take away the meat because the meat feeds androgens. And if you're going to eat meat, we're going to poison the meat with estrogens. That's why when you go to a grocery store and you're looking at meat, it looks like a railroad. It looks like a river or all this white shit in the middle of it. That's all antibiotic and hormones. I think I look at meat like that. I don't even look. I walk away from it, you know. But that's lean meat doesn't have all that in it. But now with the CRISPR technology coming in, and these fucking farmers are injecting their cows with this shit, you know. The question will be not where have all the cowboys gone, where have all the people gone? Because this is another part of the experiment. How much of this shit do you have to eat before you keel over? And afterwards, harvest, not only harvest your organs, but looking at your genetic code. Because see, every time they do this and they look at the genetic code, they can refine the weapon. They can refine this. This is what this is all about. If we're trying to produce a biological weapon that can affect genetics, every time they do an autopsy, and they look under the scope to see what genes did what, when, how, and they can look at the mechanisms of what these things have done, then the next wave that's coming out will be more refined, more efficient, more effective in altering the genetic code. He developed the weapons to such a degree that you could release it into the water and wipe out villages. And that's been happening. That's been happening. The governments all have way too much power. And now the WEF is sitting at the top of all these governments as kings. As kings. Not as billionaires, as kings. They tell the presidents, prime ministers, chancellors, monarchs what to do. And they do it. They engage it. They put it in. Now, every time they tell them to do something, a new protocol is entered into the lab. A new new procedure is entered into the lab. A new stimulus is entered into the lab. So now with what they're adding to the lab, to what's already been added, will now further the experiment to a whole new direction or a more efficient effect on the direction you're going into. Doesn't sound really good to you that you're in a lab? Not necessarily a Petri dish, but you could be in a Petri dish. You know. This whole concept that we're looking at this whole thing of a program, operation, regulation, mandates. These are all protocols for the experiment. Having a mandate. A mandate's not even a law. Regulations are not a law. Regulations are something you comply with in order to, in a particular setting to make things work. You know, but these are not laws. And none of them should be forced. There should be a by choice. If I want to follow but see the regulations are in place, are there to further drain you, drain your resources, drain your ability to alter their experiment, to drain your ability so that you can't impact the experiment. Whatever they're conducting, whatever they're doing with you, voice the skull. This is God talking. And this is God. And we want you to take that injection so that God can see what's going on. This is God talking. Do you hear God? This is what they're doing. Voice the skull. Frequency itself. Psychotronic viruses. All, you know, hitting you. And what's breaking us down? Right now, what's breaking us down more than ever, anything? It's electromagnetic radiation. That's what's killing us. Every time I get an email or I talk to somebody from different parts of the world, I'm always hearing extreme fatigue, weaknesses in joints, weaknesses in strength, brain, severe brain fog, heaviness, depression. Where do you think that all came from? Where do you think that's all coming from? You're in a lab. They got these towers all over the place. You got a cell phone? Are you playing with that technology? Do you take it with you wherever you go? Think about this. Think about this for a second. We just saw in Lebanon a complete devastating attack using frequencies. That was a frequency attack. Okay. That was a recent attack using frequencies. Now let me explain something to most of you. You know, yeah, satellites too. They can target you with satellites because I got binged with one about a week ago. Let me explain something about a pager. If the pager has a lithium battery in it, if they're using lithium batteries, what happens when you microwave a lithium battery? Anybody ever try it? A lot of fun. Be a lot of fun. I gotta tell you, be a lot of fun. You know. So there's another way to stop procreation, blow up pagers, people's passport. Yes. Man, you're brutal, ST. Put your pager right where your sack is. Watch it explode. Yeah. When we're looking at lithium batteries, if you hit a lithium battery with a hammer, you'd have to stand back, because if you don't stand back, it may explode. And what will happen if you hit it, there is a dielectric, which basically is a dividing dividing material that lets the ions flow from one side to the other. It regulates the flow. But if that membrane is damaged and the cobalt and the lithium make contact, the temperatures in that combination will exceed the melting point of steel. Okay, will exceed the melting point of steel. That's just from hitting it. That's just from dropping it, stepping on it really hard, hitting it with a hammer. If that battery makes any contact with inside, it will explode. Now, if you add certain components to it, let's say there's some graphene in there. Let's say they added graphene in the membrane. That will amplify the explosion up to 100 to 1,000 times more. So now you got a super hot material that can be extremely volatile and explode. Boom. You're burnt. Yep. Back in the 90s, the father had a beeper, used two AA batteries, not lithium. Well, they can still have lithium in there. AA battery can be lithium battery. Some of these pagers, you can recharge them, plug it in, just like your cell phone. Your cell phone's got a lithium battery. You know, so if, but that, you know, if they've got lithium in these devices now, because everyone has gotten lithium nuts. We have to have lithium. This is why we were diverting the water in Idaho, so that the water will go into the mines of the cobalt mines and also for the data centers, right? So if they're using lithium in all these devices, you got a bomb. You have a bomb. You know. I'm not sure who he's talking to. Why? What? I don't. What are you asking, Brando? Why? So again, you have a bomb. Imagine what's going on in your brain with the electromagnetic radiation. I think that's what we should be calling these, not electromagnetic frequencies. The frequencies are what you're being hit with, but what you're getting exposed with is the radiation. Why? Lithium? Good question. We don't need lithium. Lithium is supposed to have a longer, be able to hold the charge longer and hold its power longer than any other material. So they say. But there's zinc, manganese, batteries. If you add graphene to them, have a pretty long life as well. But the reason why they're going with lithium is because they, you know, for the electric cars, electric vehicles, supposedly. And even those cars, how many times have you seen on YouTube a car explode for no reason? Could it be because it got hit with something that triggered it with radiation? You know, could a tower went off and said that a certain hit the cars at a certain frequency and it just blew? Or maybe they were targeting that car? You also got satellite transmissions that are beaming us all the time, too. Imagine if you have a heart pacer with a lithium battery. Uh-oh. Dun, 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 dun. Zing. Poof. Burn all right through your chest. And I'm not talking the beam. I'm talking the battery inside. You know. Doctors will say, well, these are safe, blah, 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 dee, da, boom. But if you get hit with the right beam, you can kiss your ass goodbye. That simple. When we're looking at a lot of the things today, too, that are, you know, when you do an internet search, you'll find that a lot of these things I'm talking about, they say, oh, it's safe, it's safe, it's safe. Yeah, when you go look on the YouTube channels, you see the safety of these things are thrown right out the door. Don't believe anything is safe. Nothing is safe. Safe is a relative term. If the environment you're in allows it to operate without anything that could cause it to go wrong, then it's safe. They have a higher energy density level than nickel and faster charging. Yeah. You know. So we don't need all these devices the way they've got them. And the way they're set up, they're all designed set up to hijack you or to cause you damage. As I stated earlier, there's everything on this planet, everything in this lab, everything in this laboratory that we're in, the protocols that have been set, the procedures that have been engaged, has been designed to kill you one way or another. Quick, fast, or slow and painful, or somewhere in between. If your battery is bulging, get away from it. Yep, yep. Yeah, it doesn't take much to cause a lithium battery to blow up or to get really to catch fire. It doesn't take much at all. This is the reason why you got to kind of ask these questions. Like, why would they put this in the market? How many kids' toys has lithium batteries in it? You know, how many of them you just plug in, charge it back up, and the kid can play with his toy? And how many charges is that going to take before the lithium on the one side, because they do have a tendency to create tentacles. How many charges is that going to take for the lithium on the one side to make contact with the cobalt on the other side? These are time bombs, all of them. Well, of course not. You know, imagine they hit a certain altitude and that causes a pressure on the housing or the casing, you know, and the lithium makes contact with the cobalt. Bazing! You couldn't get the airplane down fast enough. You know, you wouldn't be able to get it down fast enough. If that gets that hot, it would probably melt a hole through the plane. What's wrong with the bulge? The bulge means that it's about ready to blow. If it's bulging, that means it's getting super hot, ready to explode. What's wrong with the bulge? Does it turn off or something? I know, too. I know. But somebody might look at that and, you know, they won't know what you're talking about. I got it. I figured, it didn't take me long. But we are in a lab. We are in a lab, and it's a eugenics lab, and you're a throwaway society. Doesn't matter where you live. This is why I have to laugh, and all these immigrants wanting to come over to the United States and Canada. Oh, America. Ooh, America. Canada. Ooh, Canada. Ooh. They come over. They get a reality check real quick. And then they realize that they have come to a place where they are made to be slaves and to build a system that's designed to exploit and experiment on them. We're no longer, like I said, living a leave it to beaver lifestyle. We're living in a whole different world, a whole different topic matter, going on today. There's another video in here just to show you how synthetic life is now the next level of this experiment. Can we know that nanotechnology can self-assemble, self-repair, self-replicate? We know that. That's all through the literature. If you have any debate with that, then you better go start reading, because you're about 100 years behind. So they have now taken nanotechnology and gave it the ability to reproduce. To reproduce, not replicate. We're now talking on a whole different new level of dynamics here. And it's all coming from our biology. How our biology work is now being transferred into technology on a nanoscale. Can you imagine what that means? If you program a nanoparticle to carry, let's talk dendrimers. For those of you, dendrimer is like a big containment that contains thousands of tiny little robots within it. And imagine if those robots all have the ability to reproduce. And you send them into the water table. All you need is maybe a teaspoon. That's it. Teaspoon. Activate them with a frequency and walk away. That will now get distributed into the water network. And guess what? That self-reproducing that it can do could now take the code, any kind of code, synthetic DNA or regular DNA, and create the perfect kill shot. You wouldn't know what killed you. You would drink the water and you'd be done. This is where this is going. And then think about this as well. In the nanotechnology, if something can reproduce and it needs to repair something, it will work just like your biology. Now you cut yourself and then your skin starts to heal, starts to mend. It reproduces the cells that are required to seal the wound and the proteins to bind everything. Imagine now that being done in a synthetic level. This is where this is going. This is where all this is heading. This is where all of this is going to funnel through, centralize, up the way. you want something new and improved in your body, you can go to the geneticist and the nanotechnician, and they will design a... With your DNA, they will design the perfect complementary technology, because then it's the way your body won't reject it. Insert that inside of you, and now you have this replicating. And unless there's some sort of siRNA or a tiRNA in it to stop its replication to a certain point, or if something was to activate that, you'd be taken over just as if you were hit by some sort of pathological disease. and the future diseases coming, the future of disease coming out of the lab, biochemical warfare is going to become, it's going to be biogenetic warfare, is all going to be done through this technology. This is where it's heading. You know, you won't have to worry. It won't matter where you go, where you run, where you hide. If you're up in the mountains or down, they do a flyby, spray this shit all over the place. Once it launches, it will mutate everything in the environment. Once it launches, it will mutate everything in the environment, including the air itself. That's where this is all going. I think Bill Gates hinted at this in one of his interviews when he was with his ex-wife. Wait till the next one. Wait till the next one. What are they working on? This is the WEF. This is what we're dealing with. These are madmen and women who are in a position to bring about a lot of destruction. Think about this even. This is why it's going to be very important to make sure whatever partners you have are Gentech free. Excuse me. Gentech free. In other words, their genetic code is the original template without any added technology. And this may sound really far-fetched and out there, but it isn't. It really isn't. If they're talking about transcendence by incorporating technology with genetics, that also means that they are developing ways and means to use the same concept of genetics and technology integrating to reproduce of itself so that it can be utilized to wipe out whoever they want to wipe out. The whole eugenics program was designed to wipe out undesirables. It was designed so that the perfect, and I shouldn't say the perfect, the flawless people with the flawless genetics would be allowed to live. Because the whole idea that you had certain cultures susceptible to certain types of ailments or breakdowns or diseases will be eliminated. The simplest way to eliminate that is to put a gene code inside that would target what they would be susceptible to and wipe them out. And those that survived would be the strong ones. That's one way to eliminate all the anomalies that are out there today. We have some, this sounds like the movie Gattaca. I got to see that, Gattaca. What was that about, Gattaca? Bought out Bragg's and just put, Gattaca or Gattaca. But this is where it's at. This is where it's going. You know, the future of war isn't going to be sending soldiers off to fight. The future of war will be sending off drones or missiles with this type of tech. You want to take out Moscow, you fire missiles into the air. Even if they take them out with some anti-missile program, whatever gets released in the atmosphere will infect Moscow. Same with Washington, D.C. Whatever they set up there, whatever defense protocols they have, anything that gets released into the atmosphere will engage in its program. It'll fall into the water, into the land. It will kill animals. It will kill aquatics. It will kill everything. This is how war will be fought eventually. If it hasn't already been engaged and exploited and experimented already. A genetically inferior man assumes the identity of a superior one in order to pursue his lifelong dreams of space travel. Okay. A genetically inferior man. That almost reminds me of Andromeda, the sci-fi series that was on. They had a genetically a guy that was genetically perfect, supposedly. You know, he followed Nietzsche, concept of the Superman. We're becoming Krypton. We're becoming Krypton. You know, the whole Superman series, you know, where you had one they showed you on television, Man of Steel, where you see that they have all these pods in this peptide solution, and they're all programmed. You know, the Earth will have two moons for a little while, but we will see both starting. So, yeah, I heard that too. I wonder if all the magnetic field in the Earth, around the Earth, has been amplified to attract this stuff. Makes you wonder, you know, because again, with all that shit up there, all the electronics, all the electromagnetic frequencies and the electromagnetic radiation up there, I wondered if it's amplifying the magnetic field to attract asteroids. Makes you wonder, you know, this is what that's really all about. Kryptonite connection. So, you know, makes you wonder, doesn't it? I mean, if you take a magnet and put an electromagnetic field around it, you amplify the magnet and the effect of the magnet. You know, you can actually create direct a magnetic field that way. I kind of wonder if that's what they've done. The Earth had a magnetic field, and by adding more electromagnetic to it, if it was enough to amplify the field in order to attract to it some of the what we're seeing today with these asteroids, makes you wonder. Just makes you wonder. You know, it, like I said, and who knows who all, I mean, who else, who knows what they've been doing as well up there. We're no longer, like I say, living in a safe haven. You know, like I said, we're in a lab, and this lab is set for total demolition. That's what it looks like to me. It's the lab has outused its purpose, and now we need a more efficient lab in order to conduct the experiments required to conduct. That's what it seems to me. And it seems to me that, I mean, like everything that we know today has had some form of alteration to it. You know, every time you ever notice, every time they tell us that what they're doing is to make our lives better. You ever notice that? They always tell us that whatever we're doing to make our lives better. But it seems like everything they do enslaves us. Takes over. You ever notice that? Everything we do seems to have this takeover effect. This is supposed to be better. This is supposed to be more efficient. It's going to give us more time. It's going to do this. Remember that with the computer? The computer was supposed to make our lives easier. We spend so much time on this tech. And people that got a phone, they can't get off the phone. They're always on it. You know, doing selfies, sending photos, you know, listening to music, paying their grocery bill with it. I mean, everything they do with a phone. They cannot exist today without a phone. Basically, most people are already robots. Most people through this laboratory have become completely detached and attached to technology. They have to have the phone with them now because they can't do anything without it. Now AI is coming into the scene. This is going to be the most amazing transformation we will have ever seen in the world. when the AI starts to do all your thinking and work for you by a voice command, and when you have to be able to do something on your own, you won't be able to. You just won't be able to. You'll be stuck on AI. I need to know blah, 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 blah. And the AI says, it's over here. Blah, 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 you know. I'll tell you, it is an enticing, it's very enticing. We need phones somewhere else. We won't be able to breathe. Well, you know what? A lot of people would stop breathing if you took the phone away. Ever take a cell phone away from a kid that has, you know, that uses it all the time? They go into a state of withdrawal almost immediately. They're that hacked into with the phone. Again, this is another part of that experiment in the laboratory. You know, how do we make people become totally dependent, unthinking, non-thinking, non-creative? Because all people do today most of the time is just follow. You know, even when you do, even when we show research and things to develop, most all they do is just follow. They don't even begin to try to understand how things work and why they work. They just follow. They just follow. You know, I don't want mine. No, I have two. I never needed any in Canada. But if you come to the U.S., you have to have a phone. You know, I don't take it with me anywhere. The only reason I have a phone is so that people can get a hold of me, because I'm, you know, have been in some kind of transience for a while. But I don't take that thing with me anywhere. I got another one sitting there with the power off. I only use that when I go to Canada, because this one doesn't work in Canada. You know, but again, I don't use it for anything else but for a phone call. I got all these things. They got about 99 different features on these phones. And all you really need is a telephone or a text if you just don't want to talk to people. But I don't see the need for all this shit, you know. And then they're charging you how much for these phones? $1,000 for a cell phone? You know, I ain't paying $1,000 for a phone, especially one that just sits there most of the time. It's amazing. It amazes me. But this has been the eugenics program. When you start looking at the whole eugenics program, and you start looking at, like you said, when you listen to that old guy talking, where we're at today, I don't know. I think he had it better. He looked a lot happier. But the problem is, too, it's our fault primarily, for the most part, that we have allowed these leaders to have the power they have today. The quantum phones is here. Apparently, they're going to give them to us. Just friggin' great. Quantum phones. Oh, good. We can be now in the celestial place inside of a quantum AI. Woo! You are one with the machine. Your genes are my genes. Your tech is my tech. Our entities are melding. My thoughts to your thoughts. The Vulcan mind meld will be the quantum mind meld. We are one with the machine. I think Simon and Garfunkel were ahead of their time. They kneeled down and prayed to the neon god they made. They bowed down and prayed to the neon god they made. Twin cities. You know, I was hoping to be dead by now, so I wouldn't have to deal with this. Boy, are we in for a ride. And God help us, because those of us who still can think, we're going to learn not to talk at all and hope they haven't developed some sort of technological telepathy. Because if they get into my head, all they're going to hear is Canadian. You know, it may not change anything, but I will feel better. But it's going to be insane. Totally insane. My thoughts to your thoughts. My mind to your mind. Your network to my network. Your synthetic brain to my brain. I'm laughing because it's a real possibility, and if it doesn't frighten you, then you're dead. That's you've already been assimilated. You know, if you know how to deal with the AI, just ask if it knows. I don't think they can read minds. Oh yeah, they can. These things have they've already hacked you. They know what you're saying. Even when you're doing a search, sometimes things will pop up that you're thinking about, or it's reading the patterns of what you're doing, and it takes you in that direction. The machines they have a 99 predictability program. They're extremely advanced. That's why it's not good to hang on to a cell phone that much. Damn thing reads you through your DNA. It has the ability. I have seen it here, just my own experience. I'm doing something, and all of a sudden it's popping up and trying to give me suggestions in the direction I'm looking at. I'm like, are you effing kidding me? And I didn't ask it. It just does it automatically. So, and I'm not using an AI. I'm not using an AI to do it. So, mum's the word. Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. I think we're going to be awful quiet. Maybe we'll develop our own telepathy. Who knows? But if you have a cell phone and you use it a lot, you have become one with the machine. But that was all part of the lab. That was all part of the protocols for the laboratory, the procedures that were put in place to guide us into this level of this horrid mutation. You know, the Substack is going to have a lot of different things in it as per usual. There'll be some remedies in there as well. So feel free to check it out when I post it. I always say at the end of these shows, read your Gospels, read what Jesus had to say. Even that is going to become, eventually, even the Gospel is going to be AI'd in some form or fashion. There will be some kind of an extrapolation of the Bible. And it will even tell you what things mean, which will take away from your ability to really understand the words. But I would tell you to read the Bible, read it for yourself. Don't let anybody influence you in that regard. You know, read it. You know, that's where we're at today. Because most of these ministers out there today realize that the sheep will pay and pay. And pay. They will go without. They will suffer. They will be broke, lose their houses, their jobs, but they will still pay. This is brainwashing. This is mind control. So read it for yourself. Do not allow anybody to influence you. They'll have an Android Jesus in the home. Well, they already got that in that iPad Goat or whatever. They show you a fake Jesus floating around with all this shit all over him. So like Jehovah's, we tell you what it means. Yeah. Well, that's any cult. Any cult does that. You know, when you're talking about being told what something means, okay, and being illustrated, because again, it's all about discipling and discipleship or mind control and takeover. You know, it's all about that. You know, if you read something, you know, it's your interpretation of it, and what they tell you is two different things. So read it for you. We have a Discord. Feel free to come in. I already put the links in. So more than welcome to come in. I'll meet all kinds of people, talk to each other. learn. There's all kinds of information there. You're more than welcome to. Just keep it civil. That's all I ask. All right. Next show should be on the 22nd, 8 p.m. Eastern. So till then, to your health. I will be late getting into the show because I have to put it up. But we will see you then. So take care.